This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
That's right, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I have to wait till Raj stops playing with the screen. And on your smart speaker. Presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. But first, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I tried to tell people, don't sweat the Blazers. I mean, look, coming in, Lillard was on fire. And after game one, I was like, whoa. But I never thought it was going to go seven games. I figured six games, and now I don't figure that either. And maybe if Lillard was healthy, maybe it goes six, but maybe not. And how great was it last night? You know, will they ever play basketball at an NBA level in August again in our lifetimes? I mean, I suppose with COVID, it could happen this upcoming season again, right? But the point is, if 8/24 is Kobe Bryant Day, this might have been it. Right? It's like a comet that comes along every 100 years. Like, you, this was the chance to honor Kobe. The first chance the Lakers got. And it was a meaningful game. Big difference between 2-2, 3-1, obviously. And on 8/24, at one point, the score was 24-8 Lakers. And they wound up winning the game. Now, the numerology is obviously meaningless, except that, like, LeBron noticed it after the game. It's, you know, those things are meaningful. The tribute to Kobe was meaningful for the players. And that's, what a great way to honor him. Come out and just, and don't let up. Come out, you know, put it on him and don't let up on 8/24 to take a commanding 3-1 lead. And LeBron went for 30 and 10 in three quarters. Everyone was getting in on the act. I mean, you know, the three-point shooters were starting to knock down shots. Look, I don't like the Lakers to win the whole thing this year anyway, because I'm still with the Clippers. And, you know, unfortunately for me, because no matter what your rooting interests are, if you're doing it on TV or radio, you start to root, or if you're right, you start to root for your prediction because you want to seem smart. And I say, I told you so. But unfortunately for me and my predictions, I picked the Clippers to go all the way. But Dallas was my sleeper pick. So one of them's getting bumped off right now. But either way, I don't like the thing about a team like the Lakers. When you move mountains to bring in AD, a player like that, the cupboard is bare after that. So, like, Kyle Kuzma's got to be our third leading scorer. Okay. He has not shown in his career that he can do that on a good team. Not consistently. And they had all that money saved for Kawhi. And then Kawhi signs with the Clippers. And now all of a sudden it's like, okay, who's left? Okay, well, let's bring in Danny Green. And they didn't do a bad job considering who was left at the time and available. Filling out the roster. But I don't think it's going to be this year for them. But it ain't going to be this year for the Blazers either. Particularly with a hobbled Damian Lillard. I almost called him Stoudemire. Damian Lillard. Here's Frank Vogel after the game.
Keep our foot on the gas. That's what he would do in this situation, up 2-1, knowing that this team's got a lot of firepower. We'll just keep our foot on the gas. We got to stay after it. We know the firepower that this team has, and we got to make sure we continue to limit those guys. Got to keep them off the free throw line. Foul too much toward the end of the quarter there.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's right. That's how, on Mamba Day, that's how, you know, the thing about Mamba, Kobe Bryant gave himself that nickname. The original Black Mamba was Roger Mayweather, Floyd's uncle, who was a junior lightweight champ and later a junior welterweight champ, lost a couple fights to Julio Cesar Chavez, second one much more competitively than the first. But he was called the Black Mamba. And as I recall, others gave him that name. Kobe wanted, kind of gave himself the name that he wanted to kind of reflect the mentality, and it took off. Mamba Day. I got to tell you, even though it was a great way to honor his legacy and all that. It's emotional. It's sad for me watching and thinking about it. You know, well, you want to celebrate Kobe, but there are some people who are so full of life and so conscious that it's hard to imagine that consciousness is now gone forever. And especially in an eye blink like that, it was devastating. I was started to talk about it a little bit yesterday, and I'm going to get on to basketball. I'm going to take calls and all that. We got guests lined up, Kendrick Perkins. We got all kinds of stuff going on today. But I started getting into this. You know, when you think of high profile and tragic early passings of celebrities, in sports, for me, that was Thurman Munson when I was a little kid, the captain of the Yankees and the catcher and the all-star and, you know, the number three hitter in the lineup and, you know, all that. The clutch guy. Thurman Munson, even though I was a little kid, but he was starting to slow down in his career. And for Yankees fans, he was huge. But nationally, he wasn't what Kobe Bryant was, or internationally even. And it wasn't like you got, you know, Thurman Munson was a baseball player. Kobe Bryant was an icon, and his career already over. He'd already won an Academy Award. Like, he was going on to do a lot of stuff, and I always thought was planning to own the Lakers. I saw a lot of the kind of maneuvering behind the scenes as a Game of Thrones played between among Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, and LeBron James, like the two Lakers icons and the new guy coming in to get in on that action. And I thought Kobe was winning that chess game, tell you the truth, in terms of what coaches are being hired and fired and those kind of maneuvers. And I thought Kobe was going to own that team one day. Anyway, it was a great way for them to honor him. I don't think there's anyone left who thinks the Blazers are going to win. Even if Damian Lillard was healthy, and he's like a never-say-die guy, you like the Blazers to come back on the Lakers down 3-1? Meantime, this game happens against the backdrop of the shooting of Jacob Blake, unarmed black man trying to enter, not cooperating with police, but unarmed, back to them, trying to enter his car, wherein, you know, were his three children, and he was shot in the back by the cops. Here's LeBron James talking about that after the game.
Quite frankly, it's just f***ed up in our community. And us, I know people get tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified. Because you don't know. You have no idea. You have no idea how that cop that day left the house. You don't know if he woke up on the good side of the bed. You don't know if he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You don't know if he had an argument at home with a significant other. You don't know if it's one of his kids said something crazy to him and he left the house steaming. Or maybe he just left the house saying that today is going to be the end for one of these black people. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. It hurts. It hurts. And it's this, through the grace of God, that he's still living. Like seven shots, close range, and he's still alive. That's through the grace of God right there. And my prayers goes out to that family and that community. But I got nothing nice to say about those cops at all.
I understand people using the expression, by the grace of God, he's alive. What was it that put him in jeopardy in the first place? I assume not the grace of God. He's lucky to be alive. Just plain lucky to be alive. And I want to talk to white people about this right now. Because when LeBron James says, because if you are a white guy and you're talking about this in the media and you are sympathetic to Black Lives Matter, to the ideal, right, that to the idea that Black Lives Matter, it can be you're labeled somehow as virtue signaling. Look at me. I'm one of the good ones. Instead of just dealing with the issue. And being a, you know, socially conscious person, and responsible person, and an adult. So let me talk to white people who kind of feel that way and don't understand exactly what LeBron James is saying. See, because I know everyone's like, yo, if a cop wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, That goes for everyone. Like, don't mess with that dude. Just do what the cops tell you. Don't walk away. All those things, right? Frequently when these videos of law enforcement ending the life or severely changing the life of an unarmed black man, frequently, when you think of the recent cases in particular, say, well, why weren't they listening to the cops? So I want to connect these two things. Yes, it's a good idea to listen to the police if you want to stay alive, if that cop woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Sure, because they have awesome authority and ammunition. But the difference is that what LeBron is pointing to is that throughout the history of America, black life is cheap. So if you are a white person, you don't listen to the cops and you walk away, you're not, the expectation is not that you will be shot dead or paralyzed by a bullet in your spine or choked out from a knee on your neck for, you know, 8 minutes. That's not the expectation. You might be in trouble, might even catch a beating. You might wind up in jail, but the expectation isn't that. Like when you talk to, if you're white, you talk to your kids, like, listen to the police if you ever get stopped. But it's not backed by the idea that your life is in jeopardy. But what LeBron James is expressing is that in from his point of view, and he is reflecting the point of view of many, you know, his kid, if he doesn't listen to that, life is in jeopardy. Because throughout American history, black life has been cheap. I mean, the reason that, you know, necessity being the mother of invention, we needed cheap labor in the South. And conveniently, African slave labor was identifiable. So race became inextricably tied to class. And this enormous crime against humanity, which has never been redressed, continues to this day because race continues to be tied to class. So when LeBron James and others say black lives matter, by the way, parenthetically, black lives matter too, right? That's what he's talking about. Black life has been cheap, and hopefully, in the face of this pandemic with the flashpoint of George Floyd, black life is getting more expensive. It's not so expendable. Did you say Perk is on the line right now? Well, that was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Now, we join with Kendrick Perkins, NBA champion, joined us. Perk, you there?
I'm right here, Max. What's going on?
I wasn't aware you were waiting until just now. Hey, Perk, first with the Lakers, it didn't escape my attention that they might never play another NBA game on 8/24. What a way for the Lakers to honor Kobe.
Man, and they did it in great fashion, by the way. They did it in great fashion. I mean, the way that they came out and set the tone, they had that Mamba mentality all throughout the game. But Max, listen, the Mamba mentality has been throughout the bubble. We have seen some of the best basketball, most competitive basketball that we've seen in a long time. Think about all of the historical numbers that have been putting up. Guys are putting up 50 like it's nothing. That's Mamba mentality. But yesterday the Lakers did a great job of honoring Kobe by their dominant performance against the Trailblazers, which you and I both knew was what was about to happen when we tried to tell Stephen A. Smith not to be worried.
Yeah. Hey, Perk, but, you know, when people put up superhuman numbers, it's because the era lends itself to that. Like a primary ball handler, a high-usage player with a three-point shot, with the way offenses go now, can put up numbers that guys couldn't put up 20 and 30 years ago unless they were Jordan. I mean, if you look at Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor and Oscar Robertson in, what was it, 60-61, 61-62 that year, Wilt with a 50 with 25, Elgin with 37 a game, Oscar Robertson a 30-point triple-double on the season. Those, if you translate those stats to different eras, they're not going to look like that. In other words, Wilt and Oscar and Elgin were no better than three of the best players in another era, but the stats look that way. Is it your opinion that the performances we're seeing now mean that the players are qualitatively different? Are you saying that these are, for example, Jamal Murray in that losing effort against Donovan Mitchell had 50 with no turnovers? Never been done before as far back as people have been counting this. 50 with no turnovers in a playoff game. Does this speak to the quality of the players, or is this era just conducive to these kind of numbers?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both, Max, because when you look at it, you gotta think about it. When you're watching these games, you know, back in the day, mid-range was the go-to. Mid-range and living in the paint, like the way the game changed. So, you know, as a post player, when you talk about guys like Wilt, you know, they had a go-to move on the block. You look at guys like Kareem. He had the sky hook on the block that lived in the paint. And then when you look at today's era, these guys don't even want to touch the paint. So if they get hot, when they get hot and shooting the tray ball, of course they're going to have big games. They're going to have those games where they have 50-plus because they shoot nothing but threes. And you have to think about it. Think about the drop-off, right? Jamal Murray had that hell of a game one, and then all of a sudden game two and game three, he had a drop-off. And then all of a sudden in game four, even though they lost, he had a 50 ball, right? But think about it. Back in the day, guys were more consistent because they were living in the paint and they were mastering the mid-range. So I think it's a mixture between the two, but we can't take away what guys are doing right now. Like, you know, Dame Dollar was dropping 50s, you know, before the playoffs started. Then all of a sudden he came up against this Laker defense, and I think the highest he scored was, what, 35, 36, because, you know, the Lakers been on that. But, you know, I just think it's a mixture of both.
Meantime, Danny Green and KCP start hitting threes. And when you have LeBron James and another MVP-caliber player on the team, and by the way, Perk, in the history of the NBA, at least in my lifetime, I can't think of a single time two MVP candidates on the same team were bumped in the first round. Like, I know LeBron gets tremendous credit, but put any two top five players in the league together ever in NBA history, they ain't getting bumped in the first round. It's not the way it goes. They're too talented. But when you have LeBron and another MVP caliber player, if a dude like KCP starts hitting threes, you just throw your hands up in the air watching. If you root for the other team, you go, okay, well, we got no shot. If KCP is going to hit three, if J.R. Smith comes off the bench and hits a three or two, you're like, well, no, we got no shot. But that really speaks to the effectiveness of the top two players. If you have LeBron and AD, and you get a contribution from anyone else, very tough to beat.
No, I agree. I agree, because one thing that haven't changed, Max, was the Lakers' defense. And everyone kind of overreacted, except for us. Everyone overreacted in game one. Well, the Lakers held them to 100 points and lost because LeBron and AD didn't get any help. Now, AD didn't perform like we know AD to do. But when you think about it, think about their defense, right? Just think about their defense alone. Portland was averaging 126 points in the eight games before the playoffs. They're now averaging 101 points. They were shooting 48%. They're now shooting 41%. And when I look at Danny Green and I look at Caldwell Pope, no one in the bubble has been able to contain or play defense the way that those guys are doing on C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. Now, with that being said, Anthony Davis is unguardable. We knew LeBron James was going to turn up a notch. But, Max, Anthony Davis had a plus 37. And I usually don't even get caught up in a plus minus. But to have a plus 37 in 17 minutes of play is unheard of. And on top of that, he's a plus 84 in the last 87 minutes in the last three games of the series. Like, he has been dominating on both ends of the floor, and that's the luxury of having those top five guys, like you said, and it's hard to beat them, let alone in the first round, but in any series, even when you go back to Steph Curry and KD, it's hard. It's something that you can't do. Like, what the Raptors would have beat Golden State last year.
No, of course not.
If no, of course not. Right?
Listen, LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving had no shot against the Warriors once they got KD. That's a 73-win team. That's right. That's an MVP in Steph Curry with an MVP in KD and an All-Star plus in Klay Thompson and another All-Star in Draymond Green at a certain point and a lockdown defender in and a clutch player in Iguodala. At a certain point, it's too much. They're too loaded. I want to ask you about the guy who's supposed to be the third wheel, and it was laughable when they said it was a big three because there's such a drop-off. Kyle Kuzma, in my mind, has never been – at best, he's been an average forward, like I don't like a league-average starter, which is a good player, but at best. And I don't think he's quite been that, to be honest, Perk. When you look at Kuzma, I mean, the reason he's still on the team is because he didn't have value in a trade. That's the truth. Right? Like, no team was going to say, yeah, give us Kuzma, you keep Ingram. They wanted Ingram.
They wanted Ingram.
Right. When you look at Kuzma, how much of it is Lakers hype because he is a real NBA player? He is an NBA player. He's not a replacement level guy. He's in a rotation on any team. How much of it is Lakers hype? And how much do you see in Kuzma where you go, that dude can genuinely be the number three option offensively on a championship team?
To be honest, this no knock on Kuzma, but I strongly believe that it's all Lakers hype. If you take Kuzma off their team and you put him on any other team that's not a contender, I think he gets lost in the shuffle. We wouldn't even be talking about Kuzma like we're doing right now, but because he's on the Lakers show, his name is relevant. And I agree, Max, like, I can't honor that he's the number three guy or the number three option off the bench right now and for the Lakers. And watching them play, I could possibly say it's two to three other guys that are more valuable right now, maybe even four than Kuzma. So that's on the Lakers. I mean, I could possibly say that Caruso is better that's more valuable right now than Kuzma. We could say that Danny Green is, Caldwell Pope. Frank Vogel is kind of rocking with those guys before he is Kuzma. Now, Kuzma is capable of going for big nights because he can score the ball, but I haven't seen him do it consistently.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't seen him put it – you know, like, he haven't had a string of games where it's like, wow, over five games, Kuzma has been averaging 18 off the bench.
Not on a winning team. Not on a winning team, Perk. When they weren't any good, he could do that, but not on a winning team. He gave you some empty calorie stats on losing teams. And it's not a knock against him, to my mind. He's an NBA player. But I think this the reason I don't like the Lakers this year since the preseason is, to me, your third option has to be better than Kyle Kuzma unless he developed into something. And he developed kind of predictably. In fact, his shooting, I thought, was going to get a little better than it is. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Perk, always love having you on. You know what? I should have the producers and everybody get on to apologize for not letting me know that you were waiting on the line when you were, but we'll do that another time because I'm up against the break.
Max, it's all good. I appreciate you having me on. You were speaking the gospel anyway, so I was just listening and soaking everything in. I don't know what's been going on over the last 2 weeks, but I've been agreeing with you a lot more, and something is not right. Something is not right in 2020 because I shouldn't be agreeing with you like this, right?
Granny got right, through to you. So, I want Granny on the show. Whatever, when is Granny coming on the show?
We got to figure that out. We got to figure that out. I got to give her a little – we have to have a sit-down before she come on the show because I don't need her leaking out any type of information about me as a kid and you know, giving any type –
Don't be scared.
No, I'm not scared, Max, but I'm saying I got to have a sit-down before she come on your show because she might turn on me and then think that you're her grandchild. We can't have
Maybe Granny's going to adopt me, and she's going to be my grandma. My grandmas have passed. I need a grandma, as a matter of fact. All right, Perk. I want to talk to Granny. I'm not kidding, but always love it when you come on. That's Kendrick Perkins via the Shell Pennzoil line. James Harden, having a really good playoffs. And by the way, I know everyone thought I was going to kill him because he, you know, well, what happened? Where is James Harden in my mind right now? I will reveal that. Did he choke? Coming up next, Home Depot. I want to tell you about him. With help from the Home Depot, you can Take on fall projects without ever leaving your own backyard. Use their mobile app to search, shop, and more. Flexible delivery options that bring everything you need right to your door. And if you need tools for a project, but not forever, you can rent them. You won't find a better toolbox anywhere else. Get ready for fall with help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Max Kellerman Show. Be right back. ESPN Radio.
Coming up on Wednesday, will Luka be even better in the sequel, or will Kawhi's empire strike back in Game 5? And will the Force continue to be with Donovan Mitchell? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as Kawhi and the Clippers battle Luka and the Mavs. By the way, no Porzingis again because of the sore right knee. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. And I'm going to get into this topic in a little bit. Stephen A. and I argued today on the air. Who's more pressure on, Paul George or Kawhi Leonard? Especially with Porzingis out. I'm going to get to that in a minute. James Harden, in a one-point game, they were down a point, under 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, obviously, under 5 minutes to go in the game, throws the ball away. Turnover. Costly, especially when you lose the game by one possession, ultimately. And I've killed James Harden in the past for choking under pressure. So, last night, or sorry, game four. By the way, honestly, all these playoff games bleed into each other in my brain. Was that last night? No, it was 2 nights ago. Yeah. Yesterday, sorry, yesterday. Right, there are also so many games on every day. I had to ask, who'd I ask? I don't even remember who I asked this question to yesterday, but yesterday I was asking, wait, was the Donovan Mitchell 57-point game, the 8-second violation, was that? Yeah, that was, I think Isaiah Thomas, I was like, yeah, that was the same game. Right, already that feels like a lifetime ago. What's up, Raj?
Isn't it great, though? It's like, I mean, my son's in school, but not really in school because it's homeschooling. So it's kind of like baseball growing up, right? You got these games on during the day and he's getting the stuff done quickly and just sitting down watching these playoff games. This is great, man.
So good, especially on the West Coast, by the way. When that was the greatest thing about living in LA. You wake up at 10 a.m., you got football. If they're playing in London, it's like on and practically in the middle of the night, you got football all day. But yeah, by the way, this is when I did the ESPN radio promo that we have the games on ESPN. It's the best. You've got something to do. You got to drive around middle of the day. You got somewhere to go. Put on the radio and listen to NBA playoffs. It's amazing. But anyway, I'm not going to kill James Harden. Haha, see that classic misdirection. I'm not going to kill James Harden over that game, especially when he came back, what was on the next possession? Got you a bucket. Look, Harden went for, off the top of my head, he had, I want to say 34 double-digit assists, good number of rebounds. I want to say he had 4 steals. Oh, no, 32, 8, right. 32, 15, and 8 with 4 steals. And the way he's been playing, this dude is not the problem right now. And by the way, D'Antoni does this. He goes to a shorter rotation in the playoffs. And the thing about that is, I get it because you want to trust your guys. But, you know, you see late in games, a fresh pair of legs off the bench is better than a star player, right? So it's a flaw of D'Antoni's, I think. I get it. Maybe I would coach the same way if I were him. You go with the guys you trust. But they were gassed at the end of that game. And I don't think right now is the time to point to Harden and say, see, now, if that was a game 7, Chris Paul's leading a comeback on the other side and you're throwing the ball away, if that was a game 7, I might say different. But 32, 15, 8, and 4 when you've been playing at MVP level and leading your team without your second best player who's almost as good as you, that's big stuff from Harden so far. I'm not going to kill him right now. I think he's played well and for the most part clutch in these playoffs so far. Up next, it's your chance to max me anything. That's right. I'm going to get calls, and I'm going to get to emails. It's time for some straight talk. You know what covering your bases in baseball is, right? Making sure you have no holes in your defense. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. And you'll pay up to 50% less than big carriers and still use their same networks. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. No contract, no mystery fees, fully covering your bases for 50% less. They're playing Moneyball over at Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Coming up Wednesday, Luka's 21. So will he get the Mavericks closer to popping some champagne? Plus, the Jet. Yes, Jason Terry is here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save, they could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
You got questions, and he's got answers.
So what am I going to do here?
This is Max Me Anything.
All right, Raj, you have some emails you want to ask me about, or you want me to get right to these calls?
Well, the way we've done this in rehearsal and on the live air is you take them from the rundown or from your phone, and this is Max Me Anything, where people on Twitter, we don't have faxes or emails. This isn't like the
Jake
Jim
in
Rome
L.A.,
show
you're on with Max Kellerman on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max of ESPN LA, you're one of the reasons I want to get in the radio, and I want to talk about the Lakers.
Right.
Too many people used bubble struggles and a game one loss as a reason to throw the Lakers out as title contenders. But to compare it to boxing, it's almost like Dillian White versus Povetkin.
Mm.
After being knocked down twice in the fourth, everyone thinks Povetkin's on the brink of being retired by White in the fifth as he moves toward that WBC title shot. But then you forget that Povetkin was an Olympic gold medalist and a veteran in the game, and that's how I feel with these Lakers. LeBron might be older, but he knows what the deal is. He's been there, done that. And to me, I think it should be clear that they're the favorites out west. Anyway.
Well, I like you getting that Povetkin knockout upset loss to upset win against White in to the analogy. But I'll say that going into that fight, White was correctly considered the favorite. He had beaten Joseph Parker and otherwise had only ever lost to Anthony Joshua, someone he'd beaten in the amateurs. And even though he started his career late and was raw compared to Povetkin, who was still beating serviceable fighters, Povetkin was no longer beating and never really beat world beaters as a pro. And so that's one thing. So I thought White was correctly favored. Lakers, like people should have known better heading into this series. The Lakers... I understand, well, hey, maybe the Blazers could take them seven. That would be an upset to me, even taking them seven. Again, I know LeBron gets outsized, you know, credit proportional to his contributions. Not that he's not an MVP caliber player. He is. But people are like, oh, my God. But LeBron makes that team go, and so he's the MVP, not AD. Yeah, right. The ball handler on a modern NBA team is always going to be that guy. That's not AD's job. But is LeBron actually more valuable than AD? Maybe. But if it is, it's by a hair. Those two are neck and neck. And when you have two top five players on the same team, that team has always ever been a juggernaut in the NBA and has never ever lost in the first round. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Would you agree LeBron is playing the best he's ever played right now?
No, I do not agree. I think the best.
You think he was better before?
I think the best LeBron ever was the second championship in Miami, because that guy, from wire to wire, played both sides of the floor pretty much better than anyone in the NBA. He was the best offensive player, and you can argue with his versatility, he was certainly among the best defensive players. I think that LeBron was one of the greatest defensive players of all time.
All right. LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
Would you rank them ahead of Durant and Curry? Would you rank them ahead of LeBron and Wade? LeBron and Kyrie?
Okay, these are good questions.
Where would you go?
AD is better than Kyrie. AD is better than that version of Wade, but he has not proven it on the biggest stages yet, so it's a little premature. But at this moment you're asking me to predict, yes, I think, and I don't think they're going to win the title this year, but I think they probably will next year. But I think AD is the best teammate LeBron has ever played with. Is LeBron and AD better than Steph and Durant? Woo, that is close. But I'm going to say yes, even though this LeBron is past his prime and that KD was in his. I'm going to say yes, but that is as close as it gets. I didn't get to any of the emails. Raj, here on
they're up there. I just put one up there for you. They're not emails; they're tweets.
Oh, that's right, tweets.
You want facts? Should we get you some facts?
Yeah. Okay. What's his name? This is how close I have to get to the screen to read it.
Real Kevin Clark.
You were talking about the Matrix series earlier with their slow motion philosophy and filming. Where do you rank the Bourne series, where they slow down super fast motion only from a filming perspective? Well, the Bourne series was amazing. And I think after Bourne came out, James Bond had to redo the franchise, basically. Like, the Bourne series, the best action movie I ever saw was the first Die Hard. I think that changed action flicks, right? Because after Die Hard, where it was nonstop, I talked about Cool G Rap the other day, like punchline after punchline. It wasn't like even like Lethal Weapon or one of those kind of where you have to stop down for plot. There was no stopping the action for anything in Die Hard. And where there was narrative, like where there was like a little story to tell, they did it expertly. And the whole thing was, how cleverly could Bruce Willis use his environment to get out of seemingly insurmountable obstacles, right? It set the standard for action flicks. And the next time I saw a development in the action flick was the Bourne series. Like, the Bourne series, in a way, dated Die Hard. All of a sudden, Die Hard looked a little... It didn't look old until the Bourne series came out. I know the Matrix changed movies too, but the Bourne series, when the Bourne Identity dropped, like, James Bond had to redo the whole franchise. It's like, we gotta come up with it. Let's make it look like the Bourne series. So, yeah, in terms of... I wouldn't just say, like, the filmmaking, like, the action sequences, but in terms of the storytelling and how that the filmmaking, how it serviced the story and how they work together, that was like the kind of first postmodern action film or something like that. I don't know. That's a very half-baked theory. I'd have to think about that. But that's my feeling about it. Yeah, the Bourne series was awesome. The Matt Damon ones. After that, there was one without Matt Damon. I don't know. I watched half of it on cable. I cut it off. All right. LeBron and the Lakers did exactly what they needed to do on Mamba Day. We're going to chop it up. 888-729-3776.
Coming up Wednesday, Luka's 21. So will he get the Mavericks closer to popping some champagne? Plus, the Jet. Yes, Jason Terry is here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. Eastern, ESPN Radio and ESPN News.